Hey, what's going on? This is Danny. This is Terminal CWO, and we're going to jump into this thing just as soon as I talk about a couple other things really quick. So the main topic of our conversation today is Sergeant First Class Robert Nickerson. I've been talking about this on Instagram. We're going to break this down. Hopefully you've already read the blog that I put out. It's a little bit more than a blog. We got a lot of factual stuff in there. This thing is going to crush. I have had one hell of an interesting week, man. I mean, I can't tell you how shocked I am. I shouldn't be. Once again, I should not be. I should not be shocked. But I am so shocked at the number of people out there who are defending the unlawful command influence that is going on all across the force, saying, oh, well, you know, it should be mandatory anyways. So, whatever, it's going to be mandatory eventually. Well, that is not the point. At what point do we say you cannot break orders? Like, I've got to tell people that, hey, you need to follow orders. I need to tell soldiers you need to follow orders. I need to tell them the right way to do things. And yet, I don't believe it myself because we have senior officers all across the force, senior NCOs too, who are enforcing what the senior officers are saying. And basically, the ends justify the means. Man, we're living in a crazy world right now. The military is about orders and regulations. Following the law, yet it's not what we're doing. And we haven't been doing it for a minute, and it's got me a little upset. All right, let's talk about what's going on with Sergeant First Class Robert Nickerson. So this incident took place in August of 2020, just this last August. It involved a patrol of coalition-led forces. It was all coalition forces. Either way, it was a patrol that was in it was near a town called Tal al-Zahab, Syria. So the patrol was conducting a routine anti-ISIS patrol, came upon this checkpoint, a scuffle happened, ensuing troops in contact, or a tick as it's known, and Syrian soldier ends up dead. Initially, Sergeant Nickerson was recommended for a Bronze Star with Valor. Now, he's up against multiple charges for violating UCMJ and doing things that I'm going to break down for you and let you know don't add up. I'm going to tell you why I think, or what I think is taking place, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Let's roll this back, go through the facts, state what happened, what didn't happen, and try to make sense out of this. All right. So like I said, August 17th, 2020, coalition forces conducting a routine anti-ISIS patrol in Syria. They come across a checkpoint, which is guarded by pro-Syrian regime forces, essentially Syrian soldiers. Something happens where they roll along, they push through the checkpoint after they were told to go, and then the Syrian forces open fire on them. Well, they return fire, and in the midst of this, the gunner needs to reload. Sergeant Nickerson, as a platoon sergeant, sees this. Him and another soldier get out of the truck. They engage without the benefit of cover. For those of you who aren't familiar with tactics, that means he was standing out in the open, taking fire. He stands out there, takes fire, returns fire to allow his gunner enough time to reload. Eventually, they're able to withdraw and leave after about a 10-minute tick. The aftermath, there's two wounded Syrian soldiers, and there's one KIA, a dead, killed in action Syrian soldier. Initially, coalition forces, they made the statement. Actually, I'm going to read this to you. Hang on a second. And feel free to pull this up on what I wrote up on my website, terminalcwo.com. But the OIR spokesman, it was Colonel Wayne Morato at the time, says on 8-17, CJTF OIR and CMOC SDF, I don't know what that stands for. Either way, conducting a routine anti-ISIS security patrol near Tal al-Hazab, Zahab encountered a checkpoint occupied by pro-Syrian regime forces. The patrol was attacked. Coalition troops returned fire in self-defense. No coalition casualties. Full statement. And he has a finger pointing down. All right, so the full statement is, on August 17 at approximately 9:20 a.m. Syria time, coalition and Syrian democratic forces conducting a routine anti-ISIS security patrol near Tal al-Zahab, Syria, encountered a checkpoint occupied by pro-Syrian regime forces. After receiving safe passage from the pro-regime forces, the patrol came under small arms fire from individuals in the vicinity of the checkpoint. Coalition troops returned fire in self-defense. The coalition did not conduct an airstrike. No coalition casualties occurred. The coalition patrol returned to base. The incident remains under investigation. End. All right, so that was our official statement. It's important that you remember that part. They said the coalition did not conduct an airstrike. Not important to the case against Sergeant First Class Nickerson, but it is important because there's a lot of discrepancy here with the official statement that came out of the OIR spokesperson and then the statements that came out of Syria from the Syrian regime and the human rights group that was there at the time that said, we did conduct an air attack. So we'll get to that in a little bit. So there was a video captured of the troops in contact. It's you can't make out a lot from it. It was a guy on a cell phone sitting there in his car, and he's basically filming the checkpoint as it's being, as gunfire is going off, and that's about all there is. You can't make out anybody being shot or anything happening. But either way, you kind of see the layout of the area. You see how the trucks were arrayed, and it gives a little bit of insight to what's going on. The incident was initially covered by CBS News, and they talked about what happened there. And they were the ones who wrote up the statement about the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights and the Syrian regime stating that an airstrike took place. Now, if you look at the pictures they posted, and those are also on my website, it was from somebody who had posted them on Twitter, you can see that the area was definitely blown up by something. Some sort of ordnance impacted on the checkpoint. Now, from everything I can gather, this didn't occur while Sergeant Nickerson's patrol was there. If it took place, it was after, because there was no supporting fire. Apparently, there was two gunships on station, two Apaches. They were told that they did not have authorization to fire. The official statement from OIR says that they did not conduct an airstrike. However, the checkpoint is bombed. I don't know. Like I said, not pertinent to his case, but there is a huge discrepancy there, and it just makes you wonder, like, what's going on? Why is this a thing? How did this all come to my attention? So I get sent a post 2 weeks ago or so on Instagram, and I see, I briefly read the things that are sent to me, but I get sent so much stuff that you got to understand. I just don't have time to jump into everything. A lot of times I'll glance through it. So I made a quick note to go back and check this out. So the next day I woke up and went back in. I checked it out. I started reading through this, and you can read it as well. It's hyperlinked on that article, but the United American Patriots website, I guess they're an organization that works in defense of those who are being accused, service members who are being accused of things that either, you know, are sketchy or they didn't do, or whatever the case may be. They advocate on the behalf of veterans who are going through legal situations and they need help. So they have this write-up. I read through it. Doesn't give me a lot. It's very, very one-sided. But I said, okay, you know, this is messed up. If any part of this is true, I want to look into this. So I start reaching out on social media and people start responding. And I start getting all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. I'm being told by people who were in theater at the time, a lot of secondhand information. I'm being talked to by people who knew Sergeant Nickerson from previous assignments, character, what kind of person he is, just a lot of messages flooded in about his case. And of course, a lot of anger, rightfully so. This looks crazy on the surface. Like, whoa, what? This guy is recommended for a Bronze Star with Valor, and now he's looking at possible jail time. Some serious stuff. I start reading through this, trying to make sense of this, getting more information. I'm not going to tell you how I got information, but I got information, and I start making sense out of the story, and it just doesn't add up to me. We've already covered what took place. All right, he got into a tick, his troops in contact, returned fire, did some valorous stuff, jumped out there, went in between his soldiers and enemy fire, returned fire until his gunner could reload, ended up getting all of his soldiers together, and then beat feet out of the area. Like I said, Syrian soldier dead, two wounded. That's the fallout. While there were Apache helicopters overhead, they were not authorized to engage. At least that was the situation while Sergeant Nickerson's patrol was on ground. All right, so what is the fallout from this incident? It was originally written up for the Bronze Star with Valor, right? That's a pretty big deal. V device on a Bronze Star, that's huge. Chain of command quickly turned that around and claimed that he disobeyed orders and was not supposed to be at that checkpoint. But gets removed from his duty position, his security clearance is suspended, and then on April 8th, just happened, right? We're still in April. On April 8th, 2021, Sergeant Nickerson was officially charged with, here you go, 2 counts of failure to follow a lawful order, 2 counts of reckless endangerment, 1 count of wrongful communication, and 3 counts of obstruction of justice. So the UAP claims the Pentagon used the enemy's propaganda Twitter account to gather information on the incident and arrive at the conclusion that Sergeant Nickerson was responsible for the engagement. Whoa. Okay, hold up. This is saying, and I don't know if this is true or not. This is the claim from UAP, the website. I don't know where they got this information. I have not been able to verify this, but they are making the claim that our forces, coalition forces, United States forces, used the enemy's Twitter account and what they posted on their propaganda Twitter feed to basically substantiate allegations of UCMJ violations against Sergeant Nickerson. And I can't even wrap my head around that. We're using enemy propaganda. Okay. I won't get too heated on this. I won't get too crazy because I don't know if it's true. However, when I initially read it, man, it pissed me off. It's not far-fetched, is it? It's not too far-fetched. The kind of things we've seen lately, the kind of stuff we've seen take place. I mean, what are we talking about lately? The kind of stuff we've seen over the course of decades and decades, and the things that have been done to people in our military and the kind of wrongs that have been committed. So I don't know. We need a little bit more fidelity on that. If you got information, please send it. Moving on. I want to talk about the charges. I'm going to explain to you what he was charged with and why those charges are garbage. By the way, I'm doing really well not cussing. I'm trying to keep this podcast PG, and it's really hard with this one. But get a little bit more of an audience if I keep it PG. But man, this topic right here pisses me off. So, what were the charges for? Yeah, hit with 2 counts of failure to follow a lawful order. His commander and first sergeant claimed the platoon was not supposed to be at the checkpoint. All right. Not supposed to be at the checkpoints, aren't? Got it. All right, so let's explain this. The platoon's location was known to the chain of command. I'm going to say that flat out. It was known to the chain of command. Why? How do I know this? Oh, I wasn't there. Danny, how do you know that this was known to the chain of command? You're just making up information now. Well, let me tell you something. I've been in the Army 20 years. 20 freaking years of doing CTC rotations at NTC. I've never been to JRTC. Ooh, thank goodness. NTC was bad enough. Either way, NTC, multiple deployments in both Iraq and Afghanistan. I know how this stuff works. So we're calling it the Joint Battle Command Platform, JBCP. It's our Blue Force Tracker. Basically, what that means is our trucks are equipped with this system that operates on an encrypted wavelength, and it broadcasts your location to other coalition forces that are tapped into the same system. So you can see where those trucks are at all times. Let me tell you how crazy this is. I gotta, you know, take off my hat because this conversation is getting me worked up. Well, let me tell you how crazy this is to think about for a second. They're saying they didn't know where their trucks were, that he was at some checkpoint and they didn't know about it. We're going to use the first layer. There's three layers here, but let's use the first layer, the JBCP, the Blue Force Tracker. As a command team, you know where your guys are at all times. That's not a thing. If your comms go bunk and everything goes down, you have a pace plan. What does a pace plan mean? Well, you have your primary, your alternate, your contingent, your emergency levels of communication, and you go through that meticulously, understanding how to communicate if something goes down. It usually gets down to something like, you know, you have a runner. You have somebody who jumps in a truck and runs information back and forth as your emergency. But whatever you have to do, you make sure that you can communicate somehow, some way. So their Blue Force Tracker is up. It's working. They are broadcasting. They are known to their chain of command where they are. And if their chain of command says they don't know where they are, well, guess what? You guys are some incompetent boobs, period. You are absolutely worthless at your job, both as a command team and as soldiers. It's a screen with a freaking big old dot with a blue element on it. This has the call sign. Hey, this is your guy. Okay, that's the first layer. The second is he's on comms the whole time. Let me tell you what happens when you're patrolling over in the Middle East. I've been on patrols before. I've been up and down the road. You are checking in regularly with higher on the comms. You're doing comms check with the other members in your patrol. But you're also calling up to headquarters. You're saying, hey, like, this is our status. This is where we are. This is what we're doing. You don't want to get hit by an IED or get hit by a complex attack. Nobody knows where you are. Nobody knows what you're doing. And just, hey, we don't know what happened to so-and-so. Well, yeah, I don't know. He didn't show up at, you know, 1800 like he was supposed to. That's not a thing. This isn't a 9-to-5 job when you're over there. You're in constant communication. Accountability is everything. So he's speaking on the comms and they are responding with Roger, Roger. You know, the military thing we say for everything. That's a yes. That's a no. That's a get the hell out of here. That's all sorts of things. Roger. That's affirmative. We understand that you are communicating with us and we are acknowledging. Plus, the two Apache helicopters that are flying overhead providing security. Think those guys are just out on a joyride? Oh, yeah, there's some trucks down there. We're just going to follow them along. No. They're providing security. Their unit was in the know on Sergeant Nickerson's unit because they're attached to them and they're providing overwatch for them. They're providing overwatch security for their patrol. So their location was absolutely well communicated and known throughout the entire patrol. Saying anything to the contrary of this is absolutely absurd. It's not a thing. You know where those trucks are. If at any point they were somewhere where they shouldn't have been, you'd have said, hey, Raptor 5, whatever his call sign is, you are, you know, three clicks outside the boundary. You need to beat feet back to wherever, and that's it. Like that's what your job is. You're higher, right? You give the orders. You tell them what to do. There's a con-op for it, so they're following the directions on the con-op and everything else. The idea that he is somewhere where he's not supposed to be is absurd. Okay, let's jump into the next charge. Two counts of reckless endangerment. Sergeant Nickerson was accused of getting out of his vehicle twice to talk to the enemy in an attempt to de-escalate the situation. All right. This one might be the dumbest one they threw out there yet. That's their official charge. They're officially charging him with two counts of reckless endangerment because he got out of his truck in an attempt to talk to the enemy to de-escalate the situation. Let's wrap around to that in a second, all right? We'll pull a spokesperson sack here, whatever her name is. We're going to wrap around to that one. All right. Explanation. The unit SOP, which is standard operating procedure, directs the personnel to conduct this action whenever possible. So that is basically when they can defuse the situation without turning it into a gunfight, right? Because we have to leave here at some point. This isn't the Wild West. Okay, shooting people is not good for diplomacy. We're not here trying to take over Syria. We are trying to stabilize the area, whatever. We're not going to get into that conversation. Either way, we are trying to do a thing, which is not take over the country. And shooting people is not good for making that happen. So he gets out following SOP and tries to de-escalate the situation. They are trying to hit him with reckless endangerment because he followed the SOP. So let's take a pause really quick. Let me tell you what I got from a lot of people, a lot of secondhand information from folks who were in country at the time. They said Sergeant Nickerson was looking for a gunfight. He was at a checkpoint he wasn't supposed to be at. They said that, I got one that said that he was assigned to a special operations unit after that. Not him personally, but like his patrol. His element was assigned to a special operations unit. And like I said, this is secondhand information. This is coming from the inbox. I can't verify this, but the guy basically said that, yeah, we had to babysit him. We had to babysit him because they messed up and they were at a checkpoint they weren't supposed to be at. Okay, I initially took that on his face. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to get information. I'm trying to make sense out of this stuff. But this was all secondhand information. And it was all because, according to multiple people, he was looking for a gunfight. Well, how is he looking for a gunfight, but he's getting out of his truck, according to the charges? Got hit with the reckless endangerment, right? He's getting out of his truck to defuse the situation, de-escalate the situation. But that's not looking for a gunfight. Any gunfight I want to get into, I'm looking to get in a gunfight. I'm not looking to tamper it down. Oh, maybe he was covering his tracks. Get out of here. So he tries to de-escalate the situation, but then the official narrative is that he's looking for a gunfight. That's stupid. Doesn't even make sense. Second point. I've met dudes who are looking for gunfights. I've worked with dudes. Worked with a lot of dudes looking for a fight. Like I said, 20 years, right? Been all over the place. I can tell you that if the dude was looking for a fight, if Sergeant Nickerson was looking to get his gun on, that place would have been leveled. He would not have policed his guys up and gotten out of there. He would have leveled the place. All of those soldiers would have been dead. This is prudent judgment from a senior non-commissioned officer in the Army to say, hey, we need to get out of here. In the midst of a firefight and the shooting and just everything that was taking place, he had the presence of mind to say, we need to get out of here. So he made sure all of his soldiers were accounted for. After he did this valorous thing by stepping into fire, returning fire, and then allowing his gunner to reload his weapon, then he gets back in the vehicle and he gets his folks out of there. Wow. That is the kind of calm under fire that I want from every single leader, that I want from all of my NCOs. Top notch. Good job, Sergeant Nickerson. That's what we strive to be, all of us. That is what we train for. That is what we tell our troops to be. And you were it. All right. One count of wrongful communication. Sergeant Nickerson was accused of giving U.S. Army rules of engagement to the checkpoint guards when they granted his convoy safe passage. I actually don't have an explanation for this. I have my suspicion. I tend to think that that was likely conveyed in some sort of show of force to say, hey, like, this is what we can do. But I don't know. I wasn't there. I maybe it was completely different than that. I don't know why he conveyed what the ROE was, but he was charged with it. He was alleged to have done this thing. We're going to move on to the next one. Three counts of obstruction of justice. So Sergeant Nickerson was accused of telling two of his soldiers to delete video they had taken of the incident. And then he was accused of trying to get his interpreter to say something that was inaccurate. Let's talk about the video first. The squadron had a policy that if you shot video, you didn't have to shoot video. But if you shot video, it was not allowed to have music on top of it. You were not allowed to inject music. You know how it is. Get bodies hit the floor, whatever, some sort of heavy metal, Metallica going on over the top of it. It's a badass video, right? They were not allowed to do that. They had gotten in trouble with it. So squadron policy was you could not have music on top of the video. So he told them, if there is music in the video, delete that crap. Well, somehow that got conveyed into delete the videos. Well, here's the thing. He told them this over a week in advance of even being under investigation. This investigation wasn't a thing. It wasn't even suspected to be a thing. Keep in mind, he was recommended for a Bronze Star with Valor. Why would he think that he was going to be under investigation? He's telling them, as any platoon sergeant should, once again following SOP, delete that crap if there's music in the video. He didn't want to get hemmed up for it. He didn't want to get his platoon in trouble, his troop in trouble. He didn't want to run afoul of the CSM's policy. And so he makes a statement, and then suddenly it turns into delete the videos, and they're trying to use it against him as what, some sort of evidence that he was trying to delete evidence. They said that he tried to tell his interpreter what to say on a sworn statement. Once again, same. Here's the facts, and you can tie this to dates, okay? You have the dates that everything happened. The paperwork doesn't lie. He was not under investigation. A week and a half before he was even being investigated, before he even knew there was such a thing, he was moved to a different location 5 hours away. So when they took the statement from the interpreter, he wasn't even close. There's no way that he could have coerced or done anything to this interpreter to get him to lie on this statement. But what do I know about interpreters? I know that interpreters have well-paying jobs that they might not have elsewhere, and they will do just about anything to maintain that job. I mean, interpreters guard their jobs with their freaking lives because they have a clearance, they have a steady job and money and usually a family relying on them. They don't play games. I suspect that the command team likely pushed them to say things about being coerced or whatever they're claiming, to say that Sergeant Nickerson tried to get an interpreter to say something on a sworn statement that wasn't true. Once again, he wasn't even there. He wasn't anywhere close to AO. So he called this guy up on the phone and he threatened him over the phone. I'm just not buying it. Based on the other ridiculous allegations and charges, I'm inclined to say, nope, doesn't pass the sniff test. Not accurate. Not a thing. All right. So what do we talk about? His location. His chain of command knew where he was. Absolutely knew where he was. De-escalated the fight and hit him with reckless endangerment. Following the SOP, trying not to start an international incident, doing everything he could as a leader, telling his soldiers to delete video. Once again, that could be a he said, she said, but I'm inclined to believe this stuff because of the other ridiculous allegations. He's following the SOP from the squadron and trying not to run afoul of the CSM's policy. The interpreter just covered that one. Here's a big one, though. And here's one that I want an answer to, that I don't have an answer to. The platoon leader, a second lieutenant, was on the mission that day and was not charged. He ended up getting a GOMAR. What is a GOMAR? For those that aren't familiar with this term, maybe in another branch or whatever, I don't know how it works in the other branches, but a GOMAR is a General Officer Memorandum of Record. This is a sneaky little thing. A general can give you a GOMAR for anything he friggin' wants to. He does not have to have anybody's permission. This is not a judicial process. You don't get to go in front of a judge. You don't get to go in front of a jury of your peers. No. The general says, I'm giving this to you, and it can literally end your career. If it gets filed in your permanent folder, you're done. You're not going any further than the current rank you're in, and you get the boot as soon as that time is up. So the second lieutenant did get a GOMAR, but he wasn't charged with anything. He's not facing jail time or any other consequence like Sergeant Nickerson is. Why? He's the officer. He's the officer in charge. He's the platoon leader. Last I checked, officers are responsible for the goings-on of their troops and everything that falls under their purview. I don't know. What do I know, though, right? All right, let's cover character. Who is Sergeant Nickerson? I don't know him personally. I don't know anything about him. I know what I have heard from dozens and dozens and dozens of other people, to include chief warrant officers, other sergeants first class, first sergeants of his, captains, lieutenant colonels. I even had three E9s, sergeants, major, and a Fulbert colonel who gave character statements for Robert Nickerson and said, this guy is beyond reproach. Everything he does is top notch. Integrity, family man, initiative. I mean, you name it, the guy is the consummate professional. He is the kind of NCO that every command team desires to have. So his character for 15 years has been stellar. As all these people throwing in on him saying, you know, all this stuff. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, so Sergeant Nickerson wanted to get his gun on so bad that he's willing to throw away his legacy, his reputation. Plus, he's going to just sneak around to random Syrian checkpoints in an attempt to get in a gunfight and put his soldiers and himself in danger. Look, the amount of hurdles I have to jump to get to that conclusion and to make that make sense in my head is staggering. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. This soldier is not compromising his life, his family, his freedom, so that he can go out to some random checkpoint and get in a gunfight. He's been in the Army 15 years. If he wanted to get in a gunfight, he could have done it over the last 15 friggin' years. We've been at war for a while. He's been in long enough that he's experienced the GWAT. I don't buy it. It doesn't make sense. This all stinks. All of these charges don't add up. They stink. And here's what I'm looking at. I'm saying, so we're in Syria. We're essentially guests in their country at this point. We're not trying to take the place. We just want to get out of there. And so we're kind of in a stasis. Okay, we're going out there, you know, we're hunting for ISIS, whatever else, but we probably have strict orders, leave the official soldiers alone. We got Russians out there, we got Turks out there, Syrians, we got a whole mess of forces out there, and we got to be very careful, very, very, very touch and go. And so we get in a gunfight and a Syrian soldier dies. The official narrative that came out of coalition forces on social media, on Twitter, as you can read, like I stated, go look it up in what I wrote, is that this was defense. And then all of a sudden, all these bogus charges come out after he was recommended for a Bronze Star with Valor. Why? That doesn't add up. What? Oh, wait a minute. Somebody has to answer for this. A Syrian soldier died. We're trying to keep the calm on this, right? We're trying to keep the lid from popping off of this thing. And somebody has to answer. Well, what about the second lieutenant? All right, let me ask you this. If you were a foreign military force, would you want some 20, I don't know how old this kid is, but I'm going to go with the average age. The average age of a second lieutenant is 23, 24 years old. Would you want a 23 or a 24-year-old kid answering for the death of one of your troops? Or would you want a senior, experienced soldier who was on that patrol to answer for that so it carried weight? Well, Sergeant Nickerson was that. He was very senior, right? 15 years. He was a sergeant first class. He was a seasoned troop. Who better to pin the charges on to make something out of this than this senior non-commissioned officer? That's my contention. That's what I believe is happening. And this is all being done under wraps. Who's seen this? Who knows about this? Has this hit the news? Is anybody talking about this? I don't see it. I'm going to talk about it, though. I'm going to post on it. I'm going to talk on here about it. And we're going to try to get justice for this guy because I don't like any part of this. I am absolutely the type of person that tries to look at all the facts first. I highly trust my gut, but I know that gut is only so much. So here's what I do. I get my gut feeling on something, but then I start looking into all the facts and I try to break away that bias and that desire to prove what I think may be the case. And I say, okay, how do I disprove what I think? And I start looking for those details. How do I disprove it? Everything about this says something's not right here. I'm either missing something huge. The prosecution has some ace up their sleeve that nobody's talking about. I mean, something crazy. or this is absolute garbage. And they are railroading a guy, which means if they're railroading him, this isn't just coming from his squadron command. This isn't coming from regiment or brigade or whatever he falls under. This is coming from much higher up the totem pole. You think for a second that an international incident of a soldier dying in their own country takes place and the Pentagon is not involved somehow? Guarantee they are. So who is doing what? Who is talking about what? What is going on? Where's the evidence? What information do they have to charge him with this stuff? Because everything I just read to you is, I want to say it. It is just absolute crap. It is not what they are saying it is. I want you to go read this stuff. I want you to share this podcast. Please go share what I wrote. We need as many eyes on this as possible. Here's the thing. Say I'm wrong about all this. Say Sarah Nicholson is guilty of sin and that he did everything that they said and I'm just a big idiot and I'm duped and I'm just looking at this all wrong. Say it's the truth. Do we not want light shining on this from every angle? Because I can tell you this. Justice finds a way when it's exposed to light. Hit it from every single angle so we have transparency and we know what took place in Syria on that day. Otherwise, we see a good guy from all accounts that I've been told by, like I said, dozens and dozens of people, senior, high-ranking officers and non-commissioned officers. What a stellar individual this guy is. A family man, kids, wife, by all accounts, just the kind of guy who's given everything to be a man of integrity, be a man of his word for the army, for his country, for his family, and yet he's getting railroaded by what I believe wholeheartedly to be absolutely bogus charges. Don't let Sergeant Nicholson go down because we weren't talking about it, because we didn't want to say anything, because that's not what we do for our brothers and our sisters in arms. We have to take care of each other, because Lord knows the leadership we have up at the Pentagon is not going to do it. They're failing us. They're lying to us. They're doing all sorts of disgusting, awful things, zero integrity, zero honor, out for their rank, out for money, out for those positions, and we have to take care of each other. So get it out there. Talk about it. As this situation grows and we get more information, I will keep you guys in the know. Please keep me in the know. If there's anything that you hear about, you find out about, send it to me. You guys can hit me up at, I have an email that I set up for sending reports. So write this down, report@terminalcwo.com. You can also go to my website and hit the contact box, but that goes to a different email that's more for the website. But I would appreciate it if you send it to report@terminalcwo.com. Go follow me on Telegram, same name, terminalcwo, and let's start knocking this stuff down, doing the right thing for those who don't have a voice, okay? All right, talk to you guys later. We'll be right back.